Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Don Luce, attorney Don Luce, with us of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don's one of two dozen people that I am just so proud to have on the Buckmaster Show roster. He's our contributor, as I say, on law, and he's the author of two very popular books. They're doing very well, so well that there are enhanced versions of them, both books going into second printings. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. And if you've been around a while in Arizona, you know we've got some really kind of goofy things you'll find very interesting when it comes to Arizona laws. Estate planning in Arizona, this is something everybody needs to know about, get their estates in order. Both books, as I say, in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Well, here we go. The ban on sanctuary cities has been introduced in the Arizona legislature. This is kind of interesting, and I'll probably bring this up tomorrow, Don, when I interview the state president, Senate President Karen Fan will be with me. It's already illegal, Don Luce, under state law, my understanding, but Republicans in the legislature want voters to enshrine a ban on sanctuary city policies in the state constitution.
Pretty much. So in 2010, I'm sure your listeners will remember SB 1070 was passed by voters,
sure,
and it contained several provisions, some of which were challenged legally and determined to be unconstitutional and struck down, but some of which withstood the legal challenge, including one that requires police officers to cooperate with immigration officials. So SB 1070, which has been on the books for about a decade now, essentially does the same thing that this proposed constitutional amendment would do, which would be to require that police officers cooperate with immigration officials. Governor Ducey, in his State of the State address, said that, and I'll just quote because I think it's a really interesting quote, there, in our state's second largest city, referring to Tucson, of course, a troubling proposal to defy federal law was soundly and overwhelmingly rejected by Democrats and Republicans alike. It wasn't even close. So what he was referring to, of course, was the ballot initiative in November that allowed Tucson voters to decide whether Tucson would officially be declared a sanctuary city. That proposal was defeated by basically a 2-1 margin. So when he said it wasn't even close, it mm-hmm. wasn't even close. So he's using that to essentially prompt the legislature to put on the November ballot a bar from it would bar local police from refusing to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement efforts. This constitutional amendment was introduced Wednesday, so yesterday, by Republican T.J. Shoup. And as I said, it's backed by Governor Ducey. So one would presume that if it passes the House and Senate, it's going to go on the ballot.
But if we already have... I don't really see what this next step, why this next step is necessary.
Well, so if you were skeptical about the motive, you would say that this would drive voters to the polls because this is sort of a marquee ballot issue.
Okay.
But I wanted to mention that it reminds me in large measure of a similar state constitutional amendment that was on the ballot, I think it was about 5 years ago, that defined marriage as a union between one man and one woman.
Uh-huh.
That proposal was passed by the voters and the Constitution was amended. However, at the time, the people who were opposed to the ballot measure said, look, it's already a statute. It's already in the books, and that definition already exists. And the proponents of the ballot measure back then said, well, yeah, it may be a statute, but statutes can be overturned by judges, and we want to make sure that it's more than that. Mm. And so they were proposing a constitutional amendment. Subsequently, of course, the United States Supreme Court essentially sanction gay marriage, and both the constitutional amendment and the statute currently have no effect, no legal effect.
And Representative Randy Freese, representing Tucson area, he's the assistant minority leader. He called this issue a matter of local control and said it was also redundant because of the existing prohibition.
It's redundant, but interestingly, it's not prohibited. So a constitutional provision can and sometimes does cover the same subject as a statute. Now, statutes are generally legislatively created. Constitutional amendments are voter passed. So the law gets onto the books in different ways, but oftentimes the subjects overlap, and in some cases the subjects are substantially similar.
Good point, Don Luce. An appeals court has thrown out something that we've talked about a lot on this program with you, Don. It's known as Arizona ballot harvesting, the harvesting law. So I assume this probably won't be the last word on it.
Correct. The Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, has said that he is going to appeal this Ninth Circuit decision to the United States Supreme Court. Now, it's interesting to note that this 11-judge panel was divided. There were dissenting opinions, so it was not a unanimous decision. But to go back to ballot harvesting, this is a concept that's been around in Arizona since 2016. And what it essentially does is it prohibits me from coming to your house because I'm not a family member or caregiver of you and collecting your early ballot and then taking it to the polling place. Arizona law has been on the books for about 3 years. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that, well, you know what? That law violates the Voting Rights Act, and it also violates the Constitution. And here's why. It has a discriminatory impact, according to the court, on American Indian, Hispanic, and African American voters in Arizona. And the court said that the Republicans, who essentially sponsored and enacted the statute, did so with a, quote, discriminatory intent. Now, I don't know about you, but that's, in my estimation, that's pretty strong language. That, you know, finding that the Republicans acted with a discriminatory intent is pretty extraordinary for a court.
Yeah,
which,
for a judge to say that. I mean,
which exercises in most cases extreme restraint in being critical of the litigants or the parties involved. But Fletcher, who wrote the opinion, was clear that he didn't think that all Republicans who backed the measure harbored racial hatred or animosity. Instead, and this is from the opinion, the false race-based claims of ballot collection fraud used to convince Arizona legislators to pass the bill and other factors cumulatively and unmistakably reveal that racial discrimination was a motivating factor.
Wow.
Well, and then he goes on to say that Arizona has a long history of race-based voting discrimination. And so you'll remember that it wasn't too long ago that Arizona was actually on basically a court list as being one of the states that violated systematically the Voter Rights Act.
Right.
And so a lot of our history, I think, has come back in this case to allow the court to strike down this measure which prohibited ballot harvesting. And as it now stands, that law, which has been on the books for slightly more than 3 years, is unenforceable.
Will that affect the election?
Well, the Democrats use it as a method to boost their numbers in minority communities. And they have intentionally sought out early ballots that haven't been mailed in the minority community, and then they would actually hand deliver those ballots to the polling place. So they're thinking that they're going to be able to boost their numbers because they can now resume that type of ballot collection. Under this law that was struck down, that was prohibited.
All right. Don Luce, author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.